MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. So the show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with Terence Sankar, head of credit, StanLib Fixed Income. Really looking at credit from the other side of the coin. Often we look at the process of fixed income and we forget there's credit on that side. Terence, appreciate the time today. I mean, the role of credit in a fixed income portfolio. I mean, as I was saying there a moment ago, as investors, we kind of forget that credit is the kind of the other side of the equation if we're getting that income.
Exactly. Thanks so much, Simon. So we really see credit assets as an additional source of low volatility income in fixed income portfolios. And this is as compared to other asset classes such as listed equity or listed property. The reason why we see it as low volatility, for example, that the interest and your principal is contractually agreed between the borrower and the lender. But there are two important caveats when it comes to looking credits in fixed income portfolios. The first one would be that in order for the volatility of the income and returns to truly be low, you need to select the correct credits or the appropriate credits so as to minimize, as opposed to completely eliminate, the risk of corporates defaulting on these interest and capital repayments. And secondly, these fixed income portfolios need to be constructed in such a way that the diversity of credit issuers, types of credit instruments, actually serve to reduce the volatility of returns, even if defaults do occur.
Yeah, I take your point in that. I mean, you mentioned contractually, but of course, yeah, sometimes things happen. I mean, one of those things which has happened has been the pandemic of the last 18 months or so. We've seen the economic recovery globally, particularly North America, Western Europe, but even in South Africa, we've seen that improvement in GDP and the like. How has that sort of been impacted, that recovery? How's credit responded in the recovering economy?
Sure. So I think in the initial stages of the pandemic, we saw quite a big shock to credit markets, as with all markets, where liquidity really dried up and we saw very little supply of credit paper. Mm-hmm. But as through the various waves of the pandemic and restrictions started easing, we saw slowly and steadily issuance start increasing in the local credit market. And as it where we stand today, many public auctions are multiple times oversubscribed, and there seems to be a healthy appetite for kind of listed credit. The one, I guess, disclaimer that I'd make is that increasingly we've seen a separation of markets between the primary issuance, where credit is auctioned, and private placements. And so private placements have increasingly started playing a meaningful role for those borrowers that might not be able to access the capital markets as readily as through the primary issuance space. And in this private placement market, we are seeing that the credit trends are somewhat divergent from what we notice in the primary market.
Okay, I get that. And the recent unrest, most notably KZN back in July, I mean, was that a passing phase or did that have a longer potential impact?
Yeah, so Simon, the impact's been relatively muted, certainly in the short term. We haven't seen a significant impact on liquidity or pricing. Certainly the property counters, in particular, were quite badly hit. And we've seen a number of SENS announcements come out. But I think that the longer-term impact will still be felt once the full impact of the unrest has been quantified. And certainly in the longer term, what we are monitoring and looking at is investor confidence to be able to kind of embark on long-term capital projects and need credit in order to fund those projects. So the long-term impact, I think, still needs to reveal itself.
Talking long-term, state-owned enterprises, obviously they're a big player in this space, and it's not just Eskom, there's literally hundreds of them, although Eskom is obviously the biggie front of mind for individuals. Your view on the credit in the SOE space?
Yeah, so investors have increasingly become selective as to kind of which SOEs they support. As you mentioned, it's an incredibly nuanced space, and so discernment that happens is largely on the basis of balance sheet strength, as well as access to varied sources of liquidity. I think with the land bank restructure still ongoing, contagion risk within the SOE sector is still something that's top of mind for investors. And longer term, investors are increasingly looking for tangible evidence of structural reform and enhanced oversight from various parts of government and shareholder ministries to ensure that these entities can be kind of returned to a sound footing.
Yeah, I mean, that's ultimately it. I mean, they state-owned enterprises, but at the heart, they're businesses, they're entities. They might be doing essential services, but in many senses, they still get viewed via that same sort of light you would look at any other issuance of credit.
Absolutely.
We'll leave that there. That's Taryn Sanker, Head of Credit, Stanlib Fixed Income. Taryn, really appreciate the time today. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now, brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.